here in God's house. I trust that you've had a good week in the Lord. If you're visiting with us for the very first time this morning, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We are glad that you are here, and we trust that the Lord will bless your heart while you're in service with us today. We will be in Hebrews chapter number 11. If you are a returning visitor, we're glad that you're here as well, and we're so thankful that you've chosen again to come worship with us here at Rock Haven Baptist Church. We are going to have to be a little bit carnal real quick, because if I don't get this out of the way, they will not let me live it down. All you Gator fans, congratulations. Y'all put it to LSU yesterday, and so that's out of the way. Win or lose. I'm glad Adam is being gracious about this. He has really been gracious, because I'm just going to be honest with you. There'd been another way around. I wouldn't have been gracious. I'm just fooling with you. Good to have you. I'm glad, and I hope your teams did well yesterday. If not, join the bandwagon and be thankful for whatever's been put before you that is a blessing in your life. And on that note, church, this is Thanksgiving month, the month of gratitude. And I just want to pause just for a moment and tell you all that I am thankful that God's allowed me to be your pastor. Now, you are we got all kind of quirks among us. I know that. But you are a great group of people to pastor. And I'm so thankful to see how God continues to bless. I was thinking about just a while ago, about the last 8 years that we've been together, how God continues to have one family after another, one family after another, one fit. And God does it, and so I'm grateful for you, and I trust that you are counting your blessings day by day, because, you know, this could be a burdensome time. People don't have family around them. People are doing, don't have quite the finances they feel like they need, and so sometimes we lose sight of gratitude. So be thankful for something that God has done for you each and every day. Hebrews chapter number 11, we're going to continue our studies on this thought, let God arise. This is actually the fifth Sunday that we've talked about this, and today it's going to be let God arise in our practice of faith, in our practice of faith. And so I want to talk to you this morning about practical Christian living. Practical Christian living. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, we'll read down to verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. Now, I have no doubt in my heart and in my mind that the people that are before me, now some of you are visiting, I can't rightly speak for you, but you are in the house of God on a Sunday. And so it's no doubt in my heart and mind that you as a people and us as a whole desire to please God. We desire. That's something that we see. Or we wouldn't be here, to be honest with you. If I didn't desire to please God, dear friend, I'd be playing golf, I'd be off hunting, I'd be off doing something else. But I want to assemble here with fellow believers, and you know, churches across America are doing this, actually across the world. They do it because they want to please God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died and gave himself for the church. So we have a desire to please God. Now, what is it? What must we do? What must take place in our life, to please God? Now, sometimes we try to do it through rituals. Sometimes it's through rules. Sometimes it's through religious acts. To be honest with you, there's been time in my Christian life that I simply came to church because it was the religious thing to do. Can I get amen? Amen. That's not the right reason to come to church, different. Just because it's the right thing to do. We come to church because we desire a relationship with God. We come to church because we desire to please God. The Bible says there in verse number 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now the Christian life, go hold your place there, because we will be right back in Hebrews, in Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Just a few books backwards in your Bible. The Christian life, dear friend, begins by faith. It begins by faith. There's a foundation, and that foundation is in faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 7, the Bible says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved, through what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Christian experience, the Christian life, my relationship, it begins with faith. It starts by, it's not by works. It's not because I came to church this morning, I'm now a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian, dear friend. There was years of my life that I spent in church that I did not know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. There's been people I've known for years that never darkened the door of a church for the first 10, 6, 7, 8 years of their Christian life, that got saved because somebody took the Word of God, showed them that Christ loved them, that Christ died for their sins, and by faith they put their trust in Christ and they received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they were just as much on the way to heaven as people who spent all their life in heaven. Because it's not about church that gets you to heaven, it is about your relationship with Christ. The thief on the cross who died on that day with Jesus said, Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't have time to get down and do some religious rituals or some follow some rules. He just simply put faith and trust in Christ. Now listen, when you get to know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you begin to read the Word of God, there's some changes that take place in your life because the Bible is very plain. It says 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things pass away, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. So the Christian life begins with faith, and things begin to change. Not only does the Christian life begin by faith, flip back a few pages, Galatians chapter 2, the next book prior to Ephesians, Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. The Christian life and the foundation is by faith in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. God reached down to our life by the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God and said, listen, you have sinned. You have wronged. You have fallen short of my glory, and the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So our Christian life begins by faith, and our Christian walk should continue in faith and not our faith. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it is impossible to please God without faith. But just a minute, he gave us faith, the faith of the Son of God. Because why? He desires for us to please him. Back in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Word of God said there that Enoch was translated, but it said this, before he was translated, he had this testimony. What did it say? He pleased God. Hebrews 11:6 said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, listen, there's steps to building our faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, what does it say? Somebody help me. So then, faith cometh by what? And hearing by what? The Word of God. We build our faith. We exercise our faith. We strengthen our faith by spending time in the Word of God, listening to the Word of God. Some of you may have in your car, your iPods, your cell phones, a Bible program that reads through the Word of God. You listen to it. Some of you get up early in the morning. Some of you stay late at night and spend a little time in the Word of God. Why? Because you desire that your faith be increased. You desire that you spend time with God, through the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly divide the Word of God. So my faith, I'm given faith. My Christian life begins by faith in Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I'm continually to walk by faith because I'm saved to the uttermost. That faith comes by Jesus Christ. And it's His faith He gives to me. So I get into the Word of God and my faith begins to build. Oh, Pastor, those are all good things. Yeah, they are. But it doesn't stop there. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I'm not hearing myself or something up there, guys. I don't know if the monitor's off and I'm starting to strain my voice. And I'm going to start yelling at people and then people will start thinking I'm mad at them. I'm not mad at you. I'm just trying to get the voice across there. So don't go. Maybe these. There you go. I hear it now. That's good. All right. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Sorry for that intermission. Some of you need time to get over to 1 Peter anyway. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. Two ways God builds our faith. First, we saw in Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. This one's the one that gets most of us, that we do not like. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. What does it say? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Listen, the Word of God builds our faith. Trials and testing builds our faith. We exercise our faith. And so as we exercise our faith, we strengthen ourselves. The other day, Benji grabbed me in the kitchen and tried to sling me around and didn't try. He really slung me around. He said, Dad, you're getting weak. You need to start coming back and working out in the gym. Listen, to get physical muscle strength, you got to exercise. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen because I wished I could be like the Rock. I'm trying to, stay as close as I can. But the other parts are falling apart. Chest done dropped in the drawers. Gone. Listen, the only way to maintain it is exercise. The only way to maintain your faith, dear friend, and increase your faith is by the Word of God and going through the trials of life, realizing that God knows best, even in the midst of the trial. Don't run from the trial. Run to God in the midst of your trial, and God will come, you or the storm, one or the other. In the midst of the fiery furnace, they threw the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when the king looked over in there, he said, hey, did we not throw three in there? I see a fourth one. Jesus will go through the fire with you. Don't get in despair because you go through a trial or a time of testing. That the trial of your faith, that's what the Word of God says. Now sometimes, listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes God has to let the complete bottoms of our lives fall out so that we'll draw nigh to Him. Sometimes He just says, okay, you won't listen to the goodness of God brings me into repentance. Sometimes you just want to listen to and just receive the goodness of God, and you refuse God's goodness. You have your stiff neck towards God. You kink against everything that God's trying to do in your life. You know, it's not fair this, it's not fair that. Why am I going through this? Why are they blessed? Why am I not blessed? And through the midst of that, God says, okay, have it your way. And like the prodigal son, his bottom of his life fell out. Eventually, the materialistic things of life ends. And reality sits in. And you realize, naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going to go out. And if I'm saved, it's only by the grace of God. And you come to your senses, come to your mind, and you begin to draw nigh to God. This is what the Bible says. If I draw nigh to God, He will do what? Flee and run, right? He says, I'll draw nigh to thee. And when the bottom falls out, you realize, I don't have strength. I don't have plan A, B, C, D. Nothing's working. And we turn back to God and say, God, I need you in my life. Back over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. I told you to mark your place there, and I lost my mark. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by what? By it, by your faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now because faith is pleasing to God, and because we desire for Him to be glorified in our life, there's three truths in chapter 11 that I want to talk about this morning. Real quick, I will not keep you long. Real quick, the belief of faith. This faith is hoping when I cannot see. Faith is hoping, and faith is the substance that I can't see. And it's knowing that God is what God says is true. Here's an example. Hold your place there and flip over to Joshua. Many of you know this story. Joshua chapter 6. But I want to point out something to you in Joshua chapter number 6. The children of Israel have been in bondage for years. God had set them free. They're walking through. They've crossed over the Jordan. Joshua now, you know, Moses is dead. Joshua's God's man to lead them on. And they've taken the 12 stones out of the river. They've made a monument over there in the earlier chapters. Now they've come to this fortified city called Jericho. As they come to this here fortified city of Jericho. Listen, Jericho, they said, I'm not smart enough to know this and realize, I know I'm not, but theologians have said and historians have said that they used to race chariots around the top of the walls of Jericho. They put chariots up there and race them around. That's how thick this wall was. See, God didn't say go to Ai where there was a small little bitty town. We know what happened in Ai after Jericho. Little bitty small town. Little bitty small place. God didn't send them there. God sent them to the most fortified place there across the River Jordan, to Jericho, so God could be big in their life. Verse 2, look what it says. And the Lord said unto Joshua, what's that next word? See. See. Back, hold your place there. I'm going to read it again. Back over Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the evidence, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. It hadn't happened yet. But God said, see, the walls did not fall according to this book in Joshua chapter 6 until verse number 20. Verse 20, the walls actually fell. We know the process. Day 1, walk around, don't say a word. Day 2, walk around, don't say a word. Day 3, walk around, don't say a word. Day 4, walk around. But God said in verse 2 unto Joshua, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, faith is seeing when you can't see. Faith is knowing that God, when He has said what He's going to do, it's going to happen. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes it's difficult in the dark of the night, in the storms of life, in the trials of our faith, to see God at work in our life. But dear friend, God said He would not leave thee nor forsake thee. He will see you through those trials. Day 7. Listen, at any moment, There could have been mermaid walking around that wall. Can you imagine? They cross the Jordan, and here comes Joshua. His first action as leader in battle there as leader. Now, he'd been in many other battles. And he says to them, generals, here's the plan. We're just going to march around quiet. Well, that sounds good. That would get them real nervous. What we're going to do the next day? Bring the cowpokes near? Bring our archers near? No, day two, we're going to walk around quiet. Day three, what we're going to do? Bring artillery, we're going to walk around quiet. Listen, by the time he got through the briefing, the generals was probably shaking their head. Like, what kind of battle plan is this? But God said to Joshua, see. Guess what happened? Day seven. Seven times. Quiet. And they shouted. And the walls, the Bible says in verse 20, listen to what it says in verse 20, midway through, that the wall fell down flat. It hadn't yet happened in verse 2. It hadn't happened, it hadn't taken place until all the way to verse number 20. Faith is hoping when we cannot see. Faith is believing when I cannot see. Faith enables the believer to take firm hold on the future. You got to take faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we, in our Christian life, we need to let faith arise up in our life and let and walk practically in faith, as we saw here in chapter number 11. These folks walk in faith. Listen, the behavior of faith. James chapter 2 verse 17 says this: even as faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. Don't tell me you have faith in the things of God when you're not walking as God has patterned for us to walk in the Word of God. In the New Testament alone, there is 1,050 commandments given in the New Testament alone. Everybody wants to know if the Ten Commandments. They're there. But the Ten Commandments is not the only one. There's 1,050 commandments given by God in the New Testament. Some may seem inconvenient, dear friend, to the carnal mind. They may seem a little bit out of place to the carnal mind. But when you walk by faith and not by sight, you understand something. They always have our best interests in mind. Why? Because they're from God. Without faith, in verse 6, it's impossible to please God. Our Christian walk begins by faith. Our Christian walk continues by faith. Galatians 2:20. God says, please me, and it's all done by faith. And this is what faith does for us. Abraham, listen, verse 8. Look what it says in verse 8 for Abraham. We're back to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place, listen, he was 75 years old at this time. By chapter 11, verse 8 of Hebrews. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 7. The Bible says, and in Proverbs chapter 3, and verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Listen, by faith, when we don't understand God's plan, we continue on the course. Got to stay at it. How many times in our own walk, in our own life, that something, we know God is in something, God has directed us, and God is pointing us in a direction, and we come up against a brick wall, we come up against something we do not understand, and we say, I don't know that I can do this. Look at verse number 3, Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith we have what? We understand. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand. In verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, listen, 75 years old. Hey, get up, take your family, get across the world. Where am I going? I don't want to just go. He didn't understand it. He just obeyed by faith. By faith. Listen, we need to be very careful that we walk by faith and not by reason. Because we can reason everything out. This ain't making sense. Well, this don't add up. Well, this path is a little bit more difficult, so I'll take this path a little less. How do we get faith built? By the trials of our faith. Quit reasoning God out of everything. And understand that God is a spirit. You're going to worship God according to the word of God. You're going to worship Him in spirit and truth. What is truth? Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, faith is given when we don't have time, opportunity, or the ability financially to give. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, by what? By his faith, by giving that sacrificial lamb there in Genesis, he being dead, yet speaking. Oswald Chambers said this, with Christ, it's not really how much we give, but it's how much we don't give. See, God owns everything. The Bible says He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The Bible says in Psalms that everything in the earth is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. When the widow lady there gave two mites, God said, Jesus looked at her and said, she gave her all, while the others had gave a lot. See, it's about what God moves in your life. It's about the time, the abilities, the efforts. We have choir practice. Brother Scott runs those buses, and Brother Victor runs those buses. It's by faith. They go by to pick up the kids. Which one of them kids do you think is going to be a preacher, Brother Scott? Which one is going to be a missionary's wife, Brother Victor? We have no idea, but by faith we run those buses. By faith we go by. By faith we go by. And we're looking down the road and says, God, we're going to do our part. We're going to do what we can. You've told us to get out of the boat and strive together. You've told us to row together. God, we're going to get out. We're going to do this. Lord, and you do what you were going to do with that child or this child, and you put them in your work. It's by faith that we do this. It's by faith that we support missionaries. It's by faith that we give of ourselves to come get involved with them in the float. The Christmas float. By the way, I looked at the sign-up sheet. He can use some more carolers. Singers. He needs more people that can sing. Brother Chris, raise your hand. Go sing. Go see him. Put your name. Get involved by faith. Oh, we're going to go on a parade. We're going to pass out 6,000 tracts. Is it really worth it? By faith, it's worth it. Amen. By faith. Listen, if we don't do nothing, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And the Bible says, if the watchman say nothing, the blood shall be upon his hands. It's our job just to herald out the message and let God do the rest. Let God do the rest. Listen, Abel's faith calls him to sacrifice to God. Giving and faith always going together. Always goes together. There was a wealthy Texas man. He got wealthy, grew up poor, got wealthy. He always went back to try to honor his father. Boys, y'all listen to this. I'm preaching now. He always went back to honor his father and brought him elaborate gifts. Like 30-06s with big old scopes. No, I'm just kidding. He would buy gifts for his father, like pay for him to go hang gliding across Texas or air ballooning and things like that. He'd buy him rare albums, old albums of, that's those records people don't know what I'm talking about, old ones. And he would buy them for his dad. One day he bought his dad a talking bird. Now this bird could speak 5 different languages. I mean, it was very, very, matter of fact, he could sing. This bird could sing. It said in the illustration that this bird could sing the Yellow Rose of Texas. This was a Texan. bought that bird, gave it to his dad. He called his dad about 3 weeks later. He said, "Dad, how'd you like the bird?" His dad replied, "It was very delicious." That's what he said. Very delicious. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." We either give by reason or we give by faith and revelation of God, of our time, our talents. "Oh, preacher, I can't sing. Oh, preacher, I can't get involved. Pastor, I can't come to visitation. I won't know what to say. Pastor, I can't get on that float. I won't know how." Listen, it's by faith that we do everything we do in God. If I could understand everything I was doing, dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you, I'd be scared to death if I knew exactly what I had to do as a pastor. I mean, some of you folks, not only you, myself included, my family included, we have problems that human minds cannot fix. We got difficulties in life. Some of you got financial problems right now that are so deep and so heartbreaking, so wretching in your life that I could not begin to give you the financial counsel that you give. But I can tell you this, if God loves you and He gave His only begotten Son, and He will walk you through that trial. I can't help. I would be scared to death if I knew exactly in the human mind what I had to do as a pastor. But it's by faith I pastor people. I said, "Lord, I'm not capable. I'm not able. These are Thy people, the pasture of the sheep of Your pasture. And I need God, and You need God. We've got to do it by faith. We've got to do it by faith." Now here's six questions I think I'm going to ask you. You think about this. Do you need to work on believing when you don't see it? Just be honest with yourself. When you don't see the answer, when you don't see the end, do you need to work on believing? Listen, do you need to work on obeying when you don't really understand God's plan? When people come to me with a ministry or something, like Brother Chris, I mean, just a big example. This is the next one. He will come and say, "Pastor, is there any way we can put a float in the St. Cloud?" I didn't understand how or why or what we were going to do. I just said, "Let me pray about it, Brother Chris. Let's pray about it together. Let's talk about it." Brother Chris came back with some information and said, "Listen, I think we can do this." I said, "I don't understand it. Let's do it." I don't understand all about no parades. But listen, as a little kid, I didn't like parades. Clowns just bothered me as a little kid. Now we got all these crazy clowns running around here. Don't come dressed up on our float as a clown. You won't have a ride. I just tell you that. I don't understand it. Here's another question. Do you need to work on giving when you don't have it? And I'm not talking about just money. Sometimes I don't have the time. Sometimes I don't have the ability. Do I need to say, "Lord, I can't do what they need done, but it needs done, and You've laid it on my heart. God, would You give me the ability to do whatever needs to be done? And Lord, if I can't, will You hook somebody up with me that will go with me to be able to do what needs to be done?" Do you need more? Sometimes we discount God. "Well, I can't do that, so God can." Yeah, you were there when He hung the moon, wasn't you? "I can't get involved in that. Well, surely God's not in it then." Yeah, you were there whenever He parted the firmament from the sea, wasn't you? God can do anything He chooses, dear friend. He's just asking us to get on board and let Him work through us. Here's another question. Do you need to work on persisting when you don't feel like it? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes, dear friend, I don't feel like coming to Thursday night visitation. I'm tired just like you. Matter of fact, I'm going to be honest with you, church. This past week, I was a little bit discouraged. I told the four men that was coming with me, I said, "Listen, y'all pray. We might shut this thing down." I did. I told them it was because I was worried about the safety of people. What safety? Every last one of y'all go to Walmart at 6 o'clock at night. You'll feel bothered there. They're taking your money. We're offering eternal life. second, third Saturday, second, fourth Saturday, something along those lines, Brother Bill, I'm tired sometimes. I don't feel like showing up for visitation. I'm being honest and open as your pastor. There's times I don't. There's times on Wednesday night. There's times on Sunday night. Why? And I look out in those eyes and those little kids getting off that bus. And I look at Brother Victor running that bus Sunday morning, Brother Scott bringing the kids on Sunday night. And I tell you why I keep going. Even when I don't feel like it, because God, the Son of God, walked all the way up Golgotha's hill, was ashamed, naked, beaten, spat upon, and whipped until unrecognizable. And on that cross, he looked down through time, and he saw me, and he saw these little kids. He saw our church, and he saw what he could do through us. And he said, Father, nevertheless, thy will be done. And he finished his course. Do you need to work on thinking before receiving it? I got to show you one more verse before I get on down the road. Go back over to Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 39. I skipped past this a while ago, but with that question, I've got to show you. Listen to what it says in verse 39, Hebrews chapter number 11. And these all, quite a few people, all, that's more than two. I don't know if it's 3, 10, 20, 50, 70, but these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. There's some things you're just not going to get in life, dear friend. And will you still stay faithful? Will you still be thankful? Will you still have a good report? When people look at you and say, well, you know, we've been praying for brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so for this and that, and it didn't come to fruition, and they just have a good testimony, sweet kind. They still love God. They're not mad at God. They just keep going. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. This foolishness is going on in our nation, dear friend, where everything's got to be fair for everybody, is ungodly. Amen. Things in life are not fair. Amen. And there's just times in your life you're not going to receive what you want. Suck it up, buttercup. Keep serving God. Do you need to work on trusting when you know when you don't get it? Just keep trusting. God knows what's best. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Hymns is coming. Just practical Christian living by faith. The Christian life isn't always about a bed of roses. We've got to look beyond the now and now and know that this may be the worst day of my life. But there's better things yet to come. Okay, brother Jim.